From Good as Gold by Joseph Heller. Gold mailed 10 of his short poems to the Saturday Review of Literature. 6 came back with rejection slips, and 4 were accepted at a price of $10 each. Lieberman turned blue. He swore he would never forgive Gold for acting alone instead of sharing his initiative. To teach Gold his place, Lieberman mailed 25 of his poems to the Saturday Review of Literature. 39 came back. Well, I don't mind admitting there were days when I knew exactly how Lieberman felt. It's different now. The bad news doesn't come as often, and when it does, it's likely to be a kindly, carefully worded email from the agent, quickly read and moved out of the inbox or erased forever. Even more likely, there'll be no news of any kind from the agent, unless it's all good. But when I was starting out, a young would-be novelist in a pre-digital age, there was no sound so terrible as the postman's knock at the door, a sound that could only mean whatever he'd brought was too large to fit through the letterbox. And there it was in the postie's hands, the typewritten tome I'd sent out months ago, 3 months filled with hope and anticipation, eventually dread and despair. The manuscript now dog-eared and coffee-stained, meaning someone had actually read the thing. At first, the cover notes that came with the script were brief and not especially helpful. "Not for us," they would say. "We wish you better luck elsewhere." Still, I didn't tear the rejections up, but kept them, collected them, filed them in chronological order in a green cardboard folder. I still have that folder around here somewhere. I remember it was really quite full. But in a way, those first editors and agents did me a favour. The setbacks that hurt so much at the time were never really harmful. Over time, they helped to shape me as a writer. I didn't know enough, hadn't lived enough to bring anything to the work that might strike a chord with readers. And now I look back with gratitude. Thank God those plotless, unstructured early efforts never went any further. If nothing else, they showed me I could finish what I'd started. I wrote another novel, collected more rejection slips, and then another novel, and eventually the tone of the replies began to change. An editor at Hodder liked my work well enough to pass it on to her colleagues for a consensus. The consensus was, of course, no. But she admired the writing, she said, and liked the characters. If only I knew how to tell a story. When she asked to see anything else I might write in the future, it felt like a kind of acceptance. Just a few kind words at the right time was all it took to spur me on. Then there was one agent who wrote a long and detailed appraisal of the novel she'd declined, all that worked well and not so well, and why. And this was just the kind of help I needed. 2 years later, when I sent her the next thing, she offered to represent me, and a year after that, she sold my first novel, technically my fourth, to Penguin. So my agent's letters from that first thrilling yes to the news of the publisher's offer took their place in the green cardboard folder. If I read through that folder's contents now, I'd probably find a kind of dramatic structure, a story arc, obstacles and setbacks, hope briefly given then snatched away, and at last a breakthrough, a happy ending. The postman's knock became a less fearsome thing. Now he brought me uncorrected proofs, samples of artwork, a box of finished copies. Me, mine, I did that. Before we went digital, it was said that you couldn't call yourself a writer until you'd papered your room with rejection slips. "Ah, but by the time you've papered it," Ray Bradbury said, "you'll have gotten published. And actually, it won't take the whole room."